It's 10 o'clock. Good morning. Steve Lander with Southern Cross Network News. The federal government says there are still difficulties ahead in the war in Iraq despite Saddam Hussein losing control of the capital, Baghdad. As Lynn Scrivens reports, Prime Minister John Howard holds talks on Iraq in Canberra later this morning.
Mr. Howard is chairing a National Security Committee meeting with senior advisers, including Defence Minister Robert Hill, who says coalition forces still have to overcome pockets of resistance before victory can be declared. Senator Hill has told the ABC he's been surprised by the lack of resistance from Saddam's Republican Guard.
Most resistance seems to have come from the militia, that is sort of the armed wing of the party.
He says the Iraqis are clearly excited to be liberated after 25 years of oppression. In Scrivens, Canberra.
Opposition leader Simon Crean hopes the developments in Iraq overnight will bring a quick end to Australia's military role there.
My first thought is I just hope it ends quickly and our troops can come home as quickly as possible and as safely as possible. It's a bit confusing over there though. You keep getting different reports, but you'd have to say that the momentum in the last week has been very much in the direction that this will be over quickly. I hope that's the case.
Away from the war, a new Transport Minister, Michael Costa, has promised to remove Sydney's Millennium trains from service if they are found to be unsafe. State Rail today released a report on the fleet, which has been dogged by safety concerns and power faults. Mr. Costa says he will act immediately if driver and commuter safety has been compromised.
I've been assured verbally that they don't affect the safety of the train and the system. However, let me assure the public, once I receive the written report, if there is any issue in relation to safety, these trains will be withdrawn from the network until those issues are corrected.
Police are appealing for women who might have been sexually assaulted by a naturopath in Sydney's southwest to come forward. A 46-year-old naturopath has been accused of assaulting seven clients at Fairfield after knocking them out with drugs. Norris Smith from police headquarters says the assaults were alleged to have taken place between 1997 and 2000.
Fairfield police are appealing for anybody who may feel that they've been treated inappropriately while seeking treatment from a naturopath in Fairfield Heights to contact police on 97280399 or give Crime Stoppers a call on 1-800-333-000.
Competition regulators are today expected to block a draft proposal for Qantas to merge some of its operations with Air New Zealand. Regulators on both sides of the Tasman are concerned the alliance will give the airlines a virtual monopoly in the region. However, analyst Roger Kerr says today's decision is only the first stage in the approval process. Updating sport, and six Australians in the field for the US Golf Masters are given little chance of actually winning the green jacket. The tournament gets underway late tonight with Robert Allendy and Adam Scott, the most fancied of the Australians, at 50-1. Stuart Appleby and Steve Elkington are rated at 100-1. And in rugby league, South Sydney coach Paul Langmack says it's time the Rabbitohs started performing on the field. After four successive defeats, Langmack says the club has to aim up, especially now the boardroom squabbles have ended. News time is 3:30.
My wedding on April 11th. Better cancel that. Mum's 70th. Nah, if you understand. Hernia operation 18th. Nah, I'll have to put that on the back burner.
Clear your diary, because the Royal Easter Show is coming April 11 to 24, with heaps of new and exciting attractions as well as your old favourites. There's pig diving, Gemma, Spirit of the Outback Spectacular, woodcropping, Holden Stormwater Precision V8 Utes, and of course the show bags and rides. Entries half price after 6. Visit greataustralianmuster.com for more info.
Looking for unbelievable offers on the coolest phones around? The answer's easy. Head into Old Phone. What about a Nokia 3315? $0 on Optus Your Call 33 plan with a bonus Nokia 3315 prepaid mobile connected to the Optus network for 6 months. Minimum total cost over 24 months is $792. The Nokia 3315 prepaid is locked to the Optus network. $170 fee applies if locking is removed. While stock lasts. Offer ends April 30, 2003.
On 2UE Sydney Weather for Bryden's Law Office, the specialist for accident justice.
The Bureau says cloudy periods with a few showers, more frequent near the coast, with fresh southwest to southeasterly winds strong in coastal suburbs. Forecast temperatures for today about 21 or 22 right across Sydney. At the moment, it's 17 degrees in the city. It's 19 degrees in both Bankstown and Richmond. 84% humidity, a westerly wind at 15 kilometres an hour. I'm Steve Flander, TUE 954.
Thank you. Okay, into the second hour of the John Moore's Morning Show with the brand new and beautiful golden microphone. Hello.
Good morning, John.
It's the Gent Blonde. My dear, how are you?
I'm excellent, and you're sounding just terrific on that new microphone.
Does it sound any different?
No, it doesn't. I can imagine it. Well, listen, you've got to tell me, did he come up there with the Channel 9 crew? Are we going to see this on TV tonight?
Well, there were plenty of television crews, but I don't know whether you'll see it somewhere on TV tonight. It just came wandering in, just like Hendo does.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise. I certainly didn't expect that. Did you really not know?
I'm promised. I didn't know. I had no idea.
Oh, well, that's what makes the forest for, isn't it?
I knew something was on because when I got here this morning, they were Channel 10 people who were waiting, so I thought, oh, something's going to happen, but I certainly didn't expect to see Hendo, nor did I expect to see Cole.
Yeah.
Well,
he was good. He was funny.
But he's always marvellous.
Mm.
He just really is. I just think, how fortunate am I to have my talented friends, you know, the Emu, my little brother, and Hendo, who's the best newsreader the world has ever known, and Cole, who's just the nicest human being God ever put breath into, and with such musical talent, he just sings. He just plays that bloody banjo thing or whatever it is, ukulele, and sings.
Yeah, he was excellent. He was in fine course this morning.
Anyway, it's very sweet of you to ring.
It's a pleasure. Now, just the other thing that I wanted to say to you about was last night. I sat up till 2 o'clock this morning watching that footage you called me, and you're getting your beauty sleep.
Actually, I wasn't.
Oh, you were having a good time then.
Yeah.
Good. The footage was just amazing. I don't know if you managed to see any of it.
I saw some this morning.
Yes, it was. Now, even if they don't, I hope they do, but even if they don't find any of the chemical weapons, surely that the scene there will show the rest of the world, and especially the rest of the Middle East, how much of a tyrant this creep was.
Oh, yes. And when, I hope you heard the stuff that I put over this morning,
yes,
that's now coming to light. More of that will come to light. And we actually saw footage, I did see a bit of this in the early hours of the morning, footage of the torture chambers and the ropes that they strung them up by their hands.
Oh, I mean, it's horrible to hear it and to see it, but I think it's necessary for the...
I think it's very important. It's necessary to people like whatever her name is, Moon, right?
Oh,
God,
Half-Wit Moon, yeah.
Yeah,
you
know. Kylie.
Yeah, that one.
And Bob Brown. I mean, do they, people like that, really think that an evil man like that should have been allowed to continue to exist? I mean, do they really think that?
I don't think they even think, John.
But you might have it right now.
It's just too... They're too pathetic to even contemplate in a normal, rational way of thinking. It just doesn't make sense.
You see, it doesn't matter much whether you believe in God or not, but when we... I mean, it doesn't matter much to individuals, but when we arrived on this earth, we were given an instruction book. It was called the Ten Commandments, and it really made a whole lot of sense. And that other book that came with it told us some interesting things too. And one of the things it said was, we have to be our brother's keeper.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we know that people are being treated in the way they're being treated by a man who is evil, it's our duty to rid the world of evil, if we possibly can.
Well, it is, and that kind of message just has to get through to the whole world, that it's not going to be tolerated. And that's why it's distasteful and horrible, isn't it? It really does upset me, it upsets everybody, to hear these things, you know, the reports that you give, and then the things we see on TV, but we have to do it.
We do. We absolutely have to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't throw you over for too many people, Junk Blonde, you know that. But somebody else has just walked into the studio. My little brother.
Oh, well, just, you want to hear my little joke?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just a quickie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emu from Junk Blonde about to tell you a little joke.
Morning, Emu.
Morning, Junk Blonde. Okay,
Junk Blonde. Yeah.
Tell him the story one day. there's the three Irishmen, as usual, the three Irishmen in the pub one night, and they're talking about the daughters. And the first one said, oh, I'm very worried. He said, the other night, I was looking for something in the daughter's bedroom, and I found an empty packet of cigarettes. I didn't even know she smoked. The second one said, oh, he said, to be sure, I know what you mean. He said, the other day, I was helping the wife move the daughter's bedroom furniture around, and we found an empty bottle of vodka under the bed. The third guy says, oh, you think you have problems? The other day, he said, I'm cleaning out some rubbish in my daughter's bedroom, and I find a packet of condoms. I didn't even know she had a penis.
Oops. Wasn't expecting that much.
Goodbye, my sweet.
Bye, John. Have a great day.
And thank you.
Pleasure. Bye, you.
She's adorable. We call her the junk blonde because it was started to ring me up at the time that all those junk bonds were on the market.
I thought they'd junk bond where you...
No, junk. Junk. Yeah.
Congratulations on the 50th year. Is this the actual day? You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know
when you started.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it was a bit later in the year, but I really don't know because it wasn't important to me because I didn't think I'd be doing it for long. It was a temporary job.
So, was in Bendigo actually started? Was there, you were a DJ originally, weren't you? Would you call yourself a DJ?
No, because it was even before the days of DJs. I just used to, they had those chime things, boom, 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 boom.
Right.
And I would say, 3BO, the AWA station, it's 8:30. And then you put on a 15-minute serial.
Also, when would John Law's voice would have been first heard properly then? Do you remember that?
In the night time, we started to play music on Saturday night. And that was when I started. But the word disc jockey wasn't around then.
No.
It wasn't until I came to Sydney in about 1957 that the man who... ran this very radio station at the time, a man called Alan Faulkner, said that we'd have to start doing something to combat television, and the disc jockey was born, and the top 40 was born, and that was it.
And was that when, did you select the records? As the DJs used to at one stage, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
The program managers.
But I did.
That's right.
Because I was unruly. I've changed now. But I just played what I wanted to play, and sometimes I'd spent a whole half hour playing for one record over and over again.
And then Talkback, that's the big thing, wasn't it, when Talkback started. So when was that?
63. So I was very lucky, wasn't I? I mean, when I was playing hit records, excuse me, I talked too much last night. When I was playing hit records, I was about 18, 19, 20, just at the age you want to play music and meet girls, so all of that worked well. And then when folk radio came along about 1963, I started to get interested in other things apart from records, and I got to talk to more girls then with folk radio. Then I developed an interest in politics and things around me, and I kind of grew, you know, the industry, and I grew up at the same time. That's the only reason I'm still here.
And it was you. You, Baldy, when I first came into CN's industry.
Came into my life in 1970.
Yeah. And it was when Pamela was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
We used to play that song, Pamela Brown. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown, Tom T. Hall thing, remember?
Yeah, I should think that. Yeah.
Good song.
So, and talk, Greg, I was just thinking today, when with Saddam cutting people's tongues out, isn't it the absolute opposite here where prime ministers can walk in and people can actually talk to all our ministers on your program?
Yeah.
What an opposite.
What an opposite. And that's what we're going to fight for. We're going to rid the world of evil if we possibly can. And, I mean, he's an evil man.
And is that full of gold, that one?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's very heavy.
See it, folks. It's just beautiful.
Well, we're going to take pictures of it and put it up on the website. So if you want to see it, it'll be on the website probably tomorrow, johnlaws.com.au. So how lovely for you to come and see me. Hendo came in.
I heard that.
Isn't he funny?
And you admitted thing that you haven't reformed. You've tried to come with it to have. So when I play my new little thing for you, that's been uncensored and no one's heard it yet, you'll probably want to tear up the adoption papers for the little brother.
What? Have you said I've reformed?
You said you had reformed one stage. So I feel better about this song that we're going to play for you in a minute.
Okay, well, let's play it now.
How the hell do you talk 50 bloody years? I was only 7 still wet behind the ears. And then you go, you started on a wooden microphone. Pausing. Mudgy remembers the skinny jackaroo. Some old dick and nickname you pulled through. Couldn't find a horse that's tall enough for you. Not pausing. Pausing. Driven every car the world's ever made. Traveled every river, every barefoot it made. Oops, I'm sorry, Caroline, that was just a joke. Oh, Lordy.
Oh, Lordy.
Now you got a ticket to the turbo to charge. You can leave your Bentley in my garage. No, take a thought, just the Aston Martin will do. Thanks, Lordy. Lordy. There's Morsy. Now there's been mongrel days, I think. I can't remember what you made me drink. All I could say when I found me alive was started putting me in a cave with your other mate. And it was full of mongrels along the gate. We were all crook and all we could say was Morsy.
back of Megan, not in a record of fact. None on me, you can go first. Himbo,
himbo.
Now I won't get sentimental and cry. I'll say that the way you say goodbye. And that'll only be the day before you say,
hello, heaven. This is John Laws. And heaven will say,
hello, Laws.
You crazy.
Oh, they're sponsors of yours, right?
Yeah.
So I like to put the cart in those things, man.
Yeah, well, you can have whatever you like. That's very clever.
Yeah, well, I just put it here yesterday, and I thought, oh, we'll sure lose some of those lines in. Apologies to the barefoot maidens as well.
Why? They liked it.
I didn't ask them.
So what's on? What are you doing?
At the moment, actually, I've been promoting. Yeah. Have you heard of the Bilby brothers?
Yes.
They stayed at the Bilby's. There was an Australian story on there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Frank guy out there at Charlotte. I'm going up there on the Easter weekend. They're launching their 25 square kilometres where they've actually stayed at the Bilby and they're breeding really well. And I've written a little song to promote the Easter Bilby, which is the Galilee chocolate Bilby. And I think we should stomp all the chocolate bunnies out and should be replaced with the chocolate Bilby, which raises money for endangered species.
Okay, well, let's make that a project for next year. We can't get it done in time for this Easter, but we could certainly get it done in time for next Easter.
We could certainly send you the little jingle up on it before Easter.
Yeah,
I'll get Phil to sell that.
Get Phil to send it in. We'll certainly play it. Yeah, well, the Easter Bilby sounds better than the Easter bunny anyway.
Well, the bunnies actually were part of the problem, you know, wiping out the habitat, so... So I think it's the Easter Revolution.
Yeah.
Go by the Easter Bilby.
Yeah, or the Easter Bunny.
Anyway, it's great to see you on your 50th, mate, and we might see you later, eh?
Well, I hope I see you later, because I'd like to, you know, have a little... That's it. You got it. Give us a call, tell us what's on your mind, 13 13 32. Exactly 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. It's
what you don't get that makes their soul powders so very, very popular. Gluten-free, lactose-free, GM-free, Nestle stock powders are also 99% fat-free, and they have no animal content. With Nestle, you get guaranteed all-natural stock, which is in very big on flavor, made by an all-Australian company, which is very big on quality. Nestle stock powders are also terrific value. Each can's equivalent to 11 litres of liquid stock. All you do is add a bit of water, and you've got your very own liquid stock for about 20 cents a litre. Convenience, quality, value. All good reasons to look for Nassau stock powders at your local supermarket. Now, we'd better have a look at the traffic. Here's John Costello.
Well, John, things have settled a little bit around town. We still have really big traffic heading towards the city on General Holmes Drive around Pancrat Avenue at Taima following an accident there. It has extended from time to time back onto Grand Parade, but it's certainly looking much, much better. At North Five, there's been a car accident at Lane Cove Road and Bridge Street, and police have just cleared a smash at Enmore Road and Newington Street, so things are looking better. That's Sydney traffic on 2UE 954.
Get big news first and uninterrupted across six news channels, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on Foxtel.
Yeah, 21 and a quarter past 10 o'clock. Here's a very helpful idea if you're thinking about retiring. Clearview Retirement Solutions has just released a set of free updates on key current issues for would-be retirees. You want to know how the situation overseas could affect your plans for retirement? Wondering what to do with your investment in the current market? Interested in semi-retirement? You better have a talk to Clearview about your financial needs by tomorrow. You'll receive the full set of five updates, each on a different topic of current interest. And all free. 132976, the number. Local call costs do apply. 132976.
This is the high cost of medication. Pharmacy by Mail is rolling back the prices to the good old days.
And we're not just rolling back the prices on mail order medication. Pharmacy by Mail retail outlets also offer the same low discount prices. So if you're sick of paying too much for your medication, call 1-300-363-877.
Pharmacy by Mail. Rolling back the prices to the good old days. Phone 1-300-363-877.
Hello, I'm the voice of Virgin Blue, and I'd just like to say that I like to wear women's underwear.
Well, that came out of the blue.
Just like Virgin Blue is out of the blue sale. Gold Coast from $69, Adelaide from $89, and Cairns from $179, one way on the net. This is an internet-only sale. Fares are on sale until April 10 or until sold out. The travel between May 1 and June 26. Our out-of-the-blue sale can get you out of the red. Virgin Blue, keeping the air fair.
What makes Hyundai Santa Fe all-wheel drive look so good on the road? Is it the 16-inch alloy wheels? Is it the full-time all-wheel drive? Is it the on-road comfort of air conditioning, six-speaker CD, and power everything? Is it the worry-free 5-year, 130,000K factory warranty? Or is it because Hyundai pay all the on-road costs? Hyundai Santa Fe all-wheel drive from $29,990 with air. Drive away, no more to pay.
Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind.
Keeping track on who and what is making news around Australia. Peter Maher from Reno.
Morning, Peter.
Listen, brother, you're having a reasonable day, aren't you?
Funny morning.
Hey?
Been a funny morning.
What about the microphone? Sounds absolutely outstanding.
You wait till you see it. I'll take it to lunch next time.
Oh, yes, sir. Look, the Neumann came in with it.
Yeah, they made it specially for me. It's the only one in the world.
You even got the gold screws.
Yeah. We'll leave that alone.
Well, you're not kidding me, but that sounds absolutely sensational. What are you going to do with the old one?
I'm setting it aside. I might pass it on to somebody that you and I know later.
Oh, is that right?
In a number of years.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, I'll keep it polished.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That'd end up all right, wouldn't it, eh?
Yeah. Except you'd probably put it on a horse.
This is not the actual date. I heard you just talking to Johnny Williamson. Is that, you don't actually remember the day you started?
No, because I couldn't have cared less because I thought, oh, this is just a sort of temporary thing. I'll just do this until I make enough money to leave town.
And go into something else.
Yeah.
And you never worked in radio before you got the job at Bendigo?
No, never. Didn't even think of it.
And you see, what did you just roll up and knock on the door and say, listen, I think I can make a good sort of radio presenter?
No, I met a bloke there. I was out of work and hitchhiking around Australia after I'd been a jackaroo. And I met a bloke there who was working for the Shell Oil Company, and he happened to know the boss of the radio station.
Right.
And he said, why don't you try and get a job there? I think they're looking for somebody. So I went and I got the job. And the fellow said, but you haven't had any experience. I said, no. And he said, well, you can start, you can be the transcription boy. That meant that you looked after the serials and stuff like that. And I said, no, I'm not going to come and work at a radio station unless I can talk on the wireless. So I talked it into letting me talk on the wireless, and that was it.
And what was the first shift you ever worked? What hour?
Early in the morning.
Was it?
Yeah.
And what was it in those days? It was like basically going and doing a stock report or doing playing music?
Oh, look, I couldn't tell you what it was like. You didn't play music in the morning. You did funeral announcements.
Oh, my God, I remember that. Because I'm from Deniliquin, obviously. I can remember all of that.
And you did the stock report for the stock and station agents.
That's right.
You know, how many wieners were going to be sold.
Yeah.
And then you described the Bachelor's Ball and the Spinster's Ball. You did a live broadcast from the Bachelor's Ball or the Spinster's Ball. And you played serials like First Light Fraser.
Blue Hills and things like that.
Yeah, well, they only paired Blue Hills. But we had Portia Faces Life and When a Girl Marries.
Isn't that interesting to say the serials, like the media hasn't changed that much when you see like the soap operas are obviously nothing more than a continuation of those radio serials?
Well, that's right. When I used to play When a Girl Marries, can you remember When a Girl Marries?
No, I don't. When a Girl Marries, what a lovely title.
And at the beginning of it, the voice said, When a Girl Marries, dedicated to all those who are in love. And all those who can remember. And do you know whose voice it was?
Whose voice was it?
Brian Henderson.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And would you play serials like all morning, would you?
Yeah, every 15 minutes. And you'd put commercials in between the serials.
So you had 15-minute serial, commercials, and another 15-minute serial.
Yeah, well, the serials had 12 minutes. Yeah.
And who was producing all of these serials in those days then?
Grace Gibson, mostly.
And who's Grace Gibson?
Grace Gibson was an American woman who came to Australia and made a bundle producing radio serials.
So that was going to be my next question. Were they Australian-produced serials or were they from overseas?
No, Australian-produced with Australian actors. People like Rod Taylor. People like Guy Dolman. Do you remember that name?
No, I don't.
Great voice Guy Dolman had. Peter Finch used to do them.
Did he used to do radio?
Yeah, he did serials. And the public could go and watch it being done. You could go, and when they did the serials, they had the Caltex Radio Theatre, the women would wear long gowns and the men would wear black tie. And they'd stand up in front of microphones and do the play.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And it was just in the days of sort of like, are you saying the Celtic Live Theatre or whatever you called it then?
Celtic Radio Theatre.
Isn't that the day like a Jack Davey and these guys?
Yes, he was very much around, Jack Davey, Bob Dyer. They were around. So at night you had the quiz shows.
Yeah.
And the plays. During the day you had the serials like the Soapies. Portia Faces Life, When a Girl Marries, First Light Fraser, Dossier on Demetrius. Oh, I remember them all.
And the radio station wouldn't have been 24 hours. What was it, like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night?
Yeah, no, a bit later. I think it finished about 10:30 at night.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, and would start at about 5:30 in the morning. But for the first, you have to test the thing first to make sure it worked properly. So you played hillbilly music, as they used to call it then.
And was that just to make sure everything, like the valves are all warmed up or something?
Yeah.
And
you're doing a really terrific interview with me.
Well, I've never, within all the time we've talked, we've never actually talked about this part of it.
No.
In those days, would you ever call sports or those sorts of things as well?
No, but I used to do the sports program on Saturday afternoon, so I learnt a lot about sport, but I never called races or football or anything. But we used to take all the races from all over Australia, so you'd have races from Newcastle, you'd have races from Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Geelong, all coming into your headphones, and you'd have to cross to these. That's where I learned to work the keys efficiently, because you'd have to cross to all these races. It was very hard work, but it was terrific fun.
And so you were, even with the serials, you were panel operator and broadcaster.
Yeah, there was no such thing as a panel operator then. And that's why I'm still the panel operator.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And since you've got someone who's been in there with you, I can guarantee that is the case. You do do all of that yourself.
Yeah, I do, except for the commercials that we have to send out to the network and stuff like that.
It is most interesting to think that it goes from where Street Bio and Bendigo is, as a bloke that was unemployed looking for a job, to where you are now.
Yeah. Well, it's luck. A whole lot of luck.
I must have a little bit to do with it as well.
Oh,
remember it was the funeral 2 days to play a little theme music before you did the funeral announcement?
Yeah, the dead march would just be awful. But yeah, and I think we used to do wedding announcements. But describing the going to the bachelor ball and the spinster ball in Bendigo, that was hilarious. They used to be held at the Shamrock Hotel, and we used to get on the veranda of the Shamrock Hotel and look down into the courtyard where they had the ball. And I'd have to describe the ladies' dresses.
Is that medium? Would you be sort of in talking that she was Marie Smith or someone or other who was sort of like the devil of the ball or something?
Yeah, do all of that. But I used to have to describe their dresses. I knew all about PK and Broderie Anglaise, all these waffle PK.
Yeah, that would have been frightful, you having to find out about the dresses and the lasses.
Oh, that was terrible. All these good-looking birds. Can I see what's under that? I'm describing the ball. What are you wearing under that?
And did you do the debutante balls as well?
Oh, yeah, all of that.
And did you do the debutante balls as well?
Oh, yeah, all of that.
And did you also read the news, or would it...
No, the news used to come from a capital city, but the local news, yes, I read the news.
And did you actually write that news as well?
No. I don't have a newspaper. but I used to write the commercials.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
So that's where the art of selling was learnt there?
Probably, yeah. I used to love writing the commercials. The only problem was I couldn't and still can't spell. So when I had to go to the copywriter, they had to decipher it. But I used to love writing the commercials. Yeah, I did all that.
And did you work on air with anyone in those days, or were you always on your own?
No, just by myself.
Yeah.
And it was great, because downstairs from the studio in Bendigo was the Dad and Dave Cafe, and the people in Bendigo will be saying they remember it. I think it might even still be there. And what you could do was put on a 15-minute serial, sit downstairs and have waffles, jam and cream for that and that.
While the cereal was playing.
Yeah,
there's that many of those worrying moments, like when somebody you down having the waffles, you could just see in the background that the sergeant got a little bit fired up or something wasn't working.
No, well, I did have a certain particular occasion when I needed to do some work with one of the female staff members. It took a little longer than I anticipated, and the cereal finished.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And
well, phones rang, and what happened?
Because it's dead air, I suppose, very good. It was the worst thing that happened on radio. Now, did those heroes come on a record, or were they on tape?
They came on a record.
Did they?
Great big record. The record was 16 inches wide. It was called a transcription. And it had, do you remember the LPs? It had tracks on it.
Right.
It had a little track at the beginning, and you played that, and then there was a break for you to put the commercials in.
Right.
Then it had the big track that was the serial, then it had another little track, so you could put another commercial at the end.
And were they sort of up to date in the sense that, like, Porsche Love, whatever that one was, what was Porsche?
Porsche Faces Life.
So was that sort of dealing with the day-to-day issues of today, or was it sort of basically that they were done in such a way that they were in a setting that was sort of totally unrealistic and stuff?
It was like The Bold and the Beautiful on record.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, absolute crap, in other words.
And people, it's amazing though, isn't it, how the continuation is there today with the soap opera?
Yeah, well, it's exactly the same thing. And that was what caused the advent of the disc jockey, because the broadcasting stations, like this one, could no longer compete with television. People who loved the serials, when they used to have the serials and plays on at night, people who loved them better with pictures, as they loved The Bold and the Beautiful. So they deserted radio in their thousands, literally, and radio had to find some way to compete, and the way to compete was to increase the sale of car radios and start to play music that young people would like to listen to.
And so you went from Bendigo to where? Where was your next job?
I went from Bendigo on to Townsville.
And again, so how long has Bendigo been?
And the reason I went to Townsville was it was as far away from Bendigo as they could send me.
Well, I know a little story about Tarzan, which I'll never repeat on air. But on that trip, plane trip, you went on. How long are you in bed to go for?
About 18 months, I think.
And then in Townsville for how long?
Not long. Not long, about 3 months.
And then from Townsville to where?
Townsville to Newcastle.
And were you applying for jobs at this stage, or were people sort of hearing you and kicking you out that way?
Yeah, I don't ever remember applying for a job. Except the first one in Bendigo. No, I don't ever remember applying for a job.
And then from Newcastle?
Newcastle to Parks.
Yeah.
For one night.
Yeah.
There's a very good reason for one night.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
Okay.
And then to Orange.
Yeah.
And then to Tuyui.
And then to Tuyui.
I came to Tuyui in 1957.
And then Tuyui was the first major capital city station you worked for.
Yeah.
And now you're back there today.
Yeah.
And you've been to TUW. I remember when I was in Sydney, you were TUW, weren't you?
I was there 10 years, yeah.
Were you? Yeah.
68 to 78.
And have you ever worked on GB?
Yeah, I worked on 2GB twice, back in 61 and then again in, I guess it must have been 80-something. Can't remember.
And now back to TUW as well.
Yeah, and I've been here for all that time. Well, now you know the story of my life.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, when you think about, you know, from those early beginnings, I suppose. In wildest dreams, do you ever think it would ever last like this?
No, of course not. When I first got the job in Bendigo, I rang my mother, because I used to have to check in every now and again with my mum, and she said, well, what are you doing now, John? and I said, I'm going to be a radio announcer. And she said, oh my God, what am I going to tell my friends?
Where was Mum and Papua New Guinea at this point?
No, she was on the North Shore Line in Sydney.
Right.
And that was exactly what she said, incidentally, when I told her about my first divorce. She also said, oh my God, what am I going to tell my friends?
And so where did you meet the princess? Where did you meet that good sort? In New Papua New Guinea,
did you? And isn't she a good sort?
She's a good sort, no doubt about that.
Yeah. I met her when I was at school. I saw her on a railway station at Kamara when I was going to school at Warrawee to Knox Grammar School, and she was going to Abbotsley. And she got off the train at Kamara, and she was about 13, I think.
Yes.
And I saw her walk up the platform, and I fell in love with her. Bang. Just looked at her, and I thought, one day. It took a long time, but then shortly after that, when she was a little bit older, she and I used to see each other for a while. And we fell desperately in love with each other back then. Then she went off to England to dance with the Royal Ballet, and I kept marrying people.
Yeah, it's Carolina Ballet, no wonder it's such a good move.
Yeah. She went and danced, I kept marrying people, and then she...
You did have an absolute bloody love to live in a rifle in the face for a while.
Yes. People think I had acne. Well, it wasn't acne. It was being hit in the face with rice too many times.
Oh, it did.
And then, what happened? Do you want to know what happened there?
What happened then?
Then I went to Luna Park. This must have been about 1973.
So you're now divorced?
A number of times. My marriage was on its kind of last legs then. So I went to Luna Park for a charity thing. Diana Fisher asked me to go to Luna Park for a thing to the art gallery or something, and I went and I took one of my sons, Joshua, and I took Josh in the Tunnel of Love, and as I was coming out of the Tunnel of Love, I heard this voice saying, John, is that you? It's me, Caroline. And I knew my life was over, as I'd known it. And there she was. I thought, I met her in the Tunnel of Love, and her marriage was not in good shape. And with those few words, John is Caroline, my marriage was totally destroyed. And I've been with her ever since.
Is that right? Now, if you bother to go back and get Josh, is he still stuck with Lady?
He's still going around the Tunnel of Love.
No one bothered to tell him to come home.
No.
So when was that?
That was about 73.
Was it?
And we were married in 1976.
We've been together 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
And we had that little hiatus in the middle when she went off dancing and actually had the audacity to marry another man.
Is that right?
But she thought the error of her ways.
Look at that. Well, what about when she meets a marker, meets a maker up there, and she'll just walk across the room, she'll go, sweetheart, you don't have to say, it goes straight through there.
Yeah, Angel.
Angel, just goes straight through there.
She's adorable. I'm glad you like her.
Oh, she's a good sort, for sure.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Okay, well, screw the rest of the world. We're coming out.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do it, mate.
And,
Why do you want to finish the band? That's all lovely stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose it is. I never really talked about it like that. You've caught me on a soft day.
Well, there you go. It's wonderful. I think it's outstanding to hear and listen to that, all those things. I've been sitting all the time I sat down. We've never talked about that sort of stuff.
Oh, we're too busy talking about other things.
Exactly.
We'll have lunch soon again and talk more about other things.
And I'm looking forward to it. And I'll tell you what I will do when you were talking about going around Australia. You're still going to do that?
Yeah.
I want to do, when you go to Bendigo, I'll definitely come down to Bendigo.
Oh, look, that'd be terrific. But I've been back once to Bendigo, and to go into that old studio, the building's empty, is really very emotional.
I can imagine.
Yeah, very emotional. I love the town and the people are great. And we still broadcast through 3DO, incidentally.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you next week. We'll have some lunch soon, huh?
Look forward to it.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Bye.
Well, that was Peter Maher from Rehane, who's a mate of mine, who caught me off guard. But anyway, he was interested, so I told him.
Don't forget you are my darling. Don't forget to be all you mean to me. London and the car, although you travel far, my darling, if my heart you own, so I'll wait alone, on the America.
Steve Lander with his hour's headlines. There's been a swift response from around the Middle East to the fall of Baghdad. Arab leaders already saying it's important Iraq is governed by its own people. Prime Minister Howard, meantime, is chairing a meeting of the National Security Committee in Canberra at the moment to discuss the latest developments in the war. And as expected, the competition watchdog has announced it plans to reject the $500 million alliance between Qantas and Air New Zealand. Professor Alan Fell says the deal is anti-competitive. All the details at 11 on CUE 954.
And Steve, that'll be 17 and a half minutes from now. CUE 954, the John Laws Morning Show. We're here until midday today. If you've been looking for a small car with a difference, the new CL4 Focus has arrived, but Peter Warren Fordham, better you go and have a look at it. It's got a 1.8-litre engine. It's packed with all sorts of features, including air conditioning, power steering, CD player, airbag, engine immobiliser, all of that stuff. And the driveaway price on this 5-speed manual is $23,500. And the boys will even throw in free alloy wheels and window tinting for you as well. That's a very, very good deal from a very, very good dealer, my mate. Peter Warren Ford, part of that great big Sydney Auto World on the Hume Highway at Warwick Farm. Just look for Peach Big Harbour Bridge out there, drive under it, swing a little to the left, and there you find Peter Warren Ford. If you want to phone, 982-88-888. We'll check the traffic now with John Costello.
So on a couple of really bad accidents in the southwest in the last few minutes. One at Bass Hill is at Tan Street and Buist Street. A couple of cars have collided there. Ambulance and rescue teams are at the scene. We understand traffic will be slowed for a few minutes at least. At Bankstown at North Perris and Lady Cutler Avenue, a car slammed into a pole. Again, we have the ambulance, Energy Australia Police and the RTA Emergency Patrol all trying to get things sorted out there. At Cogra on the Princes Highway at Grace Street, lights are out after a truck accident early this morning and they could be out for a little while. At Sydney Traffic on 2UE 954.
Yokohama Performance Tires corner beautifully. That's why. Call Bob James or your Yokohama King dealer on 13 15 09.
16 to 11 o'clock now. Very easy to identify Sydney's best restaurants. Very easy. All you do is look for the ones that serve Dettoria coffee. If they serve Dettoria, then you they have a passion for quality. Test to you, they serve Dettoria coffee. The beautiful Otto certainly serves Dettoria coffee. Rock Pool, great restaurant. Est, went there the other day with friends, great. NG Garage. These are all restaurants that serve Dettoria coffee because I only like to serve things that are good. Well, Dettoria is better than good, it's great. Wonderful coffee. Whether you're enjoying it at one of Sydney's leading restaurants or in the quiet surrounds of your own home or at work, it doesn't matter. Make sure you have Dettoria. It's a great cup of coffee. Every time.
With Amy, if you've held your maximum no-claim bonus for the last 3 years, you can keep it for life. Phone 13-22-44.
Hello, I'm the voice of Virgin Blue, and I'd just like to say that I like to wear women's underwear.
Well, that came out of the blue.
Just like Virgin Blue's out of the blue sale. Coco from $69, Adelaide from $89, and Cairns from $179. One way on the net. This is an internet-only sale. Fares are on sale until April 10 or until sold out. To travel between May 1 and June 26. Our out of the blue sale can get you out of the red. Virgin Blue, keeping the air fair.
You want from your dentures what most people want. Dentures that look good and feel comfortable. At the Parramatta Denture Clinic, their cosmetic dentures are natural looking, designed to make you feel confident about smiling. You don't need a referral, simply phone for an appointment. They'll even refit, reline or repair your existing dentures while you wait. The Parramatta Denture Clinic. Open extended hours at 28 Grove Street, North Parramatta. Phone 9890-5000. For a big natural smile, call 9890-5000. Hey. Remember the days when you'd call to get your fridge or TV or washing machine service and you spoke to a real person, not a machine?
Thank you for calling Any Green Repairs. Unfortunately, all of our service staff are busy right now. Your call has been placed in a queue and
Line. Don't just get any brand. ENC has its own quality service and support network. Call 131632 and speak to a real person. ENC Service and Support. 30 years on, still strong.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Annette. I'm ringing from Queensland. I have a daughter in the Navy.
Oh, is she overseas?
I can't really say at the moment. I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, but I'm just, we were in Sydney the other day, when Sydney went out, but she's not on the Sydney. She went before that. But I was just, we're from Queensland and we came down there and we were confronted by so much, garbage, you know, by the,
the supposed protesters.
Yeah. I confronted one in Manly. I watched as he stood there with his garbage that he was trying to, peddle. And I just watched for a while, saw so many people go up and give him heaps. So I just went quietly up to him and gave him a bit of serve. And he had nothing to say to me. He was astounded.
Did you tell him you had a daughter in the services?
I told him I had family overseas fighting for his sorry ass.
Also fighting for the right for him to be able to make an idiot of himself in the street.
Exactly, yeah. And I said to him, do you enjoy being a loser? And he just couldn't speak, John. He just...
Do these people really think that a man like Saddam Hussein should have been permitted to continue to rule in the fashion in which he did rule?
Well, I don't know where they come from. I don't know where these people on the streets come from. So anyway, he had nothing to say to me, and I'm just a, I'm just a housewife. I have a daughter in the service. They are a huge...
Listen, Annette, never say I'm just a housewife. You're very important. Housewives are very, very important people. Never say I'm just a housewife.
Yeah, I know that. But my daughter is I'm so proud of her. She has done everything right. The guys, those guys standing on that ship the other day. Now, like I said, my daughter wasn't on that ship, but she was somewhere in lurking out in the heads. This is something the protesters don't know, which I think that the defence forces should keep a lot of things silent.
Maybe you should too, Annette.
They snuck out.
And anyway, it was all covered, it was all... no life was lost, although one poor policeman got himself into trouble. Allowed to get into trouble because of the stupidity of the protesters, but thank God he's all right. And it all went off reasonably well, and the protesters didn't get the kind of publicity they anticipated they'd get anyway, which I thought was a very good thing. But I'm delighted to talk to you, Annette, and I'm happy that your girl's safe, and I hope she's back with you soon. There have been some extraordinary scenes on the streets of Baghdad overnight, with Iraqis greeting American troops in the streets of the capital, and saying thank you and applauding their actions, and perhaps the most important symbolic move of it all, the most important psychological move of it all, U.S. soldiers have pulled down that huge statue, like 20 feet plus 6 meters, of President Saddam Hussein, the statue that was in central Baghdad that we saw constantly on television. Well, you won't be seeing it anymore. The Iraqis have danced on it in contempt for the man who's ruled them with an iron grip and a tyrannical rule for 24 years. Some people, including U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, have compared it to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, with locals taking a sledgehammer to the marble plinth underneath the statue. They've belted the bottom of the statue of Saddam Hussein up, probably souveniring bits of the marble. And Mr. Rumsfeld claims that Saddam will take his place alongside other failed, brutal dictators like Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, and of course there are plenty of others we are waiting to see fail. A senior American commander says Allied forces have secured the center of Baghdad, but expectations the heavy fighting could end within days. The last major battle could be for that town of Tikrit, that Saddam Hussein's hometown. Now, this could be difficult, they're saying. This could result in further bloodshed. U.S. President George W. Bush still believes the coalition forces could face great danger there, and with parts of the capital still not under coalition control, there could be more danger in Baghdad itself. I mean, it's far from over. But when you think of it, 21 days of fighting, Operation Iraqi Freedom appears to have at least reached a climax, if not being over. Many oppressed residents of Baghdad have taken to the streets, chanting that Saddam is God's enemy. Just weeks ago, if they'd called that out, they would have been killed and strung up in the street. Oh yes, he did do things like that. And you see, that's something these anti-war protesters should keep in mind. In a country like Australia, you're free to express your opposition view, as long as it's peaceful and legal. Sometimes you go outside those bounds. But what the past 21 days have sought to do is to deliver a similar set of ideals to Iraq. The events in Baghdad overnight have brought us one step closer to achieving that. And as soon as an interim government can be put in place, the Allies will retreat, leaving the Iraqis behind to run their own country and their oil fields and the rest of it. Which is the way it should be. Yesterday, the French Foreign Minister, Dominique de Villepin, expressed satisfaction at the statement by President Bush and Tony Blair that the UN will play a vital role in a post-war Iraq. Well, you won't be. You'll be playing the role of spectator, I would hope. And there's a lot of talk about the cost of the liberation of Iraq and the recreation of it as a democracy. I don't see any reason why the oil fields can't pay. I mean, the oil fields have got the second largest reserves of oil in the world. Why can't the oil production pay for the rebuilding of Iraq? Why does the United States or Great Britain or Australia or anybody for that matter, now that monster, that bastard, won't be taking all the loot that came their way because of the oil, they can spend that money that he was spending on himself and hiding away in other parts. And there's got to be billions stashed away. Presumably, they'll be able to get hold of that money. And if they can get hold of that money, they can put that towards the reconstruction of Baghdad too. Now, 13 13 32, our telephone number if you'd like to call us and tell us what's on your mind. The Marines moved through Saddam City early today as well. Saddam City, an urban sprawl in northeast Baghdad. Next week it'll probably be called Bushburg. If our spies are to be believed, Saddam is now staying on the wall of one of the restaurants they bombed. Whether or not that is true or false, it'll be some time before we know. Thank you.
Good morning, Premier.
Congratulations on 50 years in broadcasting.
Yeah, well, I didn't know we were going to be celebrating it today. It all came out of the blue, but thank you very much, Bob. It's nice to hear from you.
It's gone in a flash, hasn't it?
It sure has, and it really has. I imagine your time in Parliament's gone in a flash, sir.
The same feeling.
Yeah, when you kept busy, it all gallops by, doesn't it?
It does. That's the only way you can lead a life, to be busy.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's very nice of you to call. They presented me with a brand new golden microphone this morning. Brand new and beautiful.
Yeah, what happened to the old one?
Well, I'm setting it aside. I might lend it to the co-driver for a while.
Ah.
I'm not too sure what I'm going to do with it yet, but it served me well. Yeah. So I don't want to throw it out just yet.
Well, there's probably been more change packed into the last 50 years in Australia than any previous 50 years.
That may well be right. So it's been a privilege to be not only a witness to it, but to be able to comment on it for that 50-year period as well.
A great source of recollection.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Bob. I do appreciate it very much.
That's wonderful, John. Congratulations.
I hope I see you soon.
It's a real treatment.
Thank you very much. Bye. Bye.
Along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British ship was coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Down the river and we see the British come, and they must have been a hundred of beating on the drum. The ships rolled high and they made the bugle
sing. We put
the fat, our cotton tails, didn't say a thing.
We fired our guns and the British ship were coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Office National has the answer to all your stationery needs. From pens to post-it notes, paper books to copy paper. Check out their latest Office product catalogue for all your business needs. Save time, save money. Order at your PC, on the fax or on the phone. Call Office National, 132383. It's that easy,
132383. Of all the dietary fibre in Southern Asia food juice, you'd expect it to be good for your digestion. With all the vitamin C in Summer Asia prune juice, you'd expect it to be good for your immune system. With a drink like this, you'd expect taste to be a secondary consideration. Well, Summer Asia prune juice defies expectation. Made with the finest Darjeeling prune plums, Summer Asia prune juice tastes rich and fruity. So smooth it glides down your throat like silk. In fact, Summer Asia prune juice tastes so good, we've made it available in 250ml glass bottles, so you can enjoy Summer Asia any time of the day. Go on, treat yourself to the taste of Summer Asia prune juice today. Look for the glass bottles of Summer Asia prune juice in the fruit juice aisle at selected Coles supermarkets. Summer Asia, first class in fruit juice. Anything else is a compromise.
How would you like the satisfaction of running your own business, but with more than double the normal chance of success? If you're interested, find out more about franchising. This is the most successful way of starting a new business, like fast foods, home maintenance, mobile services. There are hundreds of possibilities at the Franchising and Business Opportunities Expo, Darling Harbour, Sydney, April 11 to 13. Open 10 a.m. Free daily seminars. Staged in conjunction with the Investment Expo and Property Expo.
How would you like a $12,000 tax deduction? Interact Financial Services can show you how. Call 936-0099. Interact are experts in financing, purchasing and negative gearing investment properties to maximise your tax advantages. Investment property is more affordable than you ever imagined, from as little as $8 a week. call Interact for your free consultation. 936-00999. They'll come to you and there's absolutely no obligation. That number again, 936-00999. Interact Financial Services.
Thinking about retiring? Want to know how current events could affect your plans for retirement? Talk to Clearview Retirement Solutions today for your set of five retirement updates free. Call 132-976. Local call costs apply.
Do you need me?